Welcome. The following information you are about to hear is part of the Love Success Series. This is intended for mature audiences. Enjoy. Hello, everybody. This is Sherry Rose, the Love Linguist, and you've been listening to Tony Veer as the co-host of the Five Love Dynamics, so you know how good he is. Tony, tell our listeners a little bit about your background and experience and what has helped you help hundreds of people.
Okay, so first off, hi, Sherry. We're back again.
I love it.
Yes, me too. And so my name is Tony Veer. I'm the love coach. And a little bit about my background. I am from the Bronx, go Yankees. And I have been dating on and off since I was 16, like, you know, many of us. And I've actually been really successful. I've been able to explore all, sow all of my wild oats, as they say. And I've had experiences from my high school sweetheart, which was like, you know, I dream a genie kind of a relationship, to, you know, marriages where I just wasn't doing anything right, to starting to take classes and doing lots of readings. For example, I have spent about 14,000 hours in some kind of training and development course on the court. I have read probably about 2 books a month since I was in my late teens, and I'm now 51 as of this reading, this recording here. And I have also, you know, have daughters. I have a couple of daughters as of this recording. She's 23 now. The youngest one and the oldest one is 28. And so I've had, you know, a wide range of experiences, and I've messed up all of them, which is where I got all of my lessons from, because I eventually figured out how to not mess them up anymore. You know, kind of like Thomas Edison. I think he messed up. He failed to create the light bulb 10,000 times. I'm glad he didn't quit at 9,999, because we'd still be sitting here messing around with candles. So that's the basic story about, like, how I got to be the love coach. And I've been coaching people for on and off for about 10 years. I've coached individuals. I actually, as of this recording here, 3 days before this recording, I was talking to a young lady that lives up in Toronto who I had coached for about a month. And I coached her through so many upsets that she hugged me like 7 times that evening to tell me that she's engaged and going to get married next month.
Congratulations. Don't we love it when people are happy like that? That's wonderful.
Yeah, so I just, that's a lot of the reason why I do it, because of the impact that I leave on others. And often, just from having people see a new perspective on their own life, looking at life from a new way, they actually can, like, have a whole new shift in their life. A lot of times, I don't even have to tell people what to do. If I just show them what's not working and show them what could work, they start getting really creative and start solving their own problems. So my commitment is that people have permanent results and permanent solutions to the problems that they're running across, or the failures they've been having.
That is so true. And you know that we both serve men and women so that they may enjoy greater love lives. And today we're going to talk about the first step, and that is the number one of the love dynamics, dating. And the reason we're doing this guest interview with Tony is because he is the expert. He has the title of the love coach, and I want everybody to understand the different programs he has. He's got a dating mastery group coaching program and a dating mastery one-on-one coaching program that he'll tell you about. And as I've mentioned before, there are 7 love dynamics. There are 2 personal love dynamics, and the 5 love dynamics are interpersonal love dynamics, and it starts with dating. So tell us about the essence of dating. What is it?
Dating is sort of like getting to know you. Hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you. I'm attracted to you, but I don't know how much I want to commit to you to tell you that, because I need to find out more about you. It's sort of like an interview process with, you know, with honorable intentions most of the time. Even for, you know, the PUAs or the pickup artists, they actually, underneath their what looks like manipulative processes, they actually have honorable intentions, which is to, like, have fun, make sure the other person is having fun, and to see how far the relationship can go. They may be jaded or whatever, but, you know, dating ultimately is having successful and enjoyable social interactions with the opposite sex or the object of your desire, for basically.
That's great. And one of the things that you talk about, and it's kind of a new concept to me, is the power of context in dating. Can you describe that to us?
Context, as I refer to it, is what is it that you want, and you're clear about it, and then being able to look a certain way. Let me try it a different way. So, you know, I was reading some books on personal development, and, you know, one of them talks about that we only could see or perceive 15% of our environment. Even though we all think we know the truth, we can only see about 15% of what's available, just because we just can't see behind our head, behind walls, stuff like that. So in relationships, you know, you can only pay attention to so much information. And so what you want to do is you want to pay attention to the key information, and that comes from context or personal perspective. So what you're looking for is looking for you. Where you're coming from is where you're going to end up going, because where you're coming from is already where you're at. And so, you know, it may sound like a little twisty turny way, turn phrase of words, but you can only get what you're looking for. And so the context in which you bring to dating is what's going to actually have you produce the results that you want out of dating and dealing with the object of your desire.
I see. That's great. I really like that. Now, you actually have a little difference. You sort of define the difference between the sexes. How do you define that difference?
Well, it's kind of like the difference between the sexes are what they're actually looking for and what their priorities are. You know, it's interesting because, you know, men and women actually want the same things. They just want it in different order. You know, like men want to have fun and they want to have, you know, safety and security, and they want to have things go a certain way. But they may not want it to the same degree that women want, or they have a different way of expressing it. So, you know, for example, men often don't realize their value to women. And, you know, I don't think really women are really all that interested in telling them very much. They may tell the one man that they have in their life that they feel safe to be able to tell them, but for the most part, they're not really interested because they're worried about their own personal safety and security. Now, men no understand about safety and security for themselves because they're looking at, oh, I'm safe. Oh, I'm secure, or I'm not, so let me do something about it. We don't really like worry about it. So the thing is that since men and women have different points of view, different contexts for operating, for being in a relationship, and it's way different. It's not like a little bit of difference. It's like huge points of view that we are looking at, that being able to speak the other person's language, being able to understand what's important to the other one, makes all the difference. Because otherwise, what we're left with is, how come they didn't do what I expected them to do? Because they don't think the way you do. That's the reason why.
Right. That is so true. Now, in your dating programs, you've got a couple different programs. You say that there are 9 steps to dating. Can you tell us about those 9 steps?
Yeah, first of all, I'll tell you how I came to those conclusions. I was speaking with a young man who actually inspired me to get into the coaching business in the first place. And so let me tell you that story so I can give you the background for how I came up with the 9 steps of dating, so it makes more sense when I start talking about it. So I belong to a men's organization. I still am, and I probably will because I get so much value out of it. And we were creating a meeting for about 60 men. And we decided that we was going to have a discussion. The theme of the meeting was going to be relationships, long-term relationships, short-term relationships. So they asked me, as one of the leaders in this group, where do I want to be at in the short term and the long term? I said, I want to be in a long-term relationship area. This was about 2005, I think. So I was like, well, okay. So how come? You ain't got no girlfriend. Say, well, yeah, but I don't care because I've had enough relationships. If I don't have another short-term relationship in my life, I'll be thrilled. I'm okay. I'm happy. I want to learn about that. So, well, maybe you should be teaching the guys short-term. So, okay. So I did. So afterwards, the person who created the meeting in the first place decided he wanted me to coach him. So for about 4 months, we had long conversations. We went out in the field. I was his wingman, so to speak. And I'm thinking, well, this is easy. Why is it with somebody? He doesn't even need any help. But we would have these conversations. And he would type, transcribe everything I said. It was amazing. So after about 13 emails, I started looking at, there's a pattern. I'm like, oh, I actually do have a system. So I came up with a few systems. And then over the years, what I came up with is I realized that dating and sales are really similar. There's a lot of similarity to it. So I decided, let me see if I could take out the sales details, put in the dating details, use the same delivery structure. And that's where I came up with the 9 steps of dating. So I'm going to explain to you the 9 steps of dating.
Yeah, my favorite part is about the 3 different ways you get paid. So go on, tell everybody about the 9 steps.
Okay. So the 9 steps are preparation. You want to prepare before you go do anything else, right? You know, if you fail a plan, you plan to fail, right? So you want to prepare. Second stage is prospecting. You know, you're looking. It's, well, I think you referred to it once upon a time, Sherry, as hunting, right? You're looking around, who's a primary target, who wants me that I want. Then next is, you know, you start talking, which is greeting or an introduction. Hi, how you doing? So you have the proper approach. Then after then, it would be getting related. How are you? Things are nice. You can talk about the weather. I don't recommend it, but sometimes you do. Then the next thing would be getting related. Then there's a qualifying. So you want to know, gee, this person here, are they worth talking to? Should I continue, right? Then and of course they're qualifying you at the same time, right? They want to know, are you worth it? So then by the time you've realized that they're maybe worth talking to long further, then you want to present yourself. Hey, I'm a good catch because this is how I match up with you or whatever. Then the next stage would be, for lack of a better description, I don't like this phrase, but I don't know what to call it, overcoming objections. Gee, I don't know if I want to do that. Early on, I talked about sitting on the fence. Somebody's sitting on the fence at this point, right? So you want to get them off the fence. And then after then, it would be, I guess I would say, getting close, getting personal. You know, in the sales realm, you call it closing. But in this sense, it's not actually closing. It's more like getting together.
Creating the connection and creating the intimacy.
Yes, creating the connection, right. Thank you. And then finally is creating the intimacy, which is escalating the relationship. That would be the 9th step. So those are the 9 steps to dating.
I like it.
Yeah, and the purpose of me creating it like that is, one, most of us, hardly anyone is great at all 9 steps. But if you don't know that there's 9 steps, you don't know where to go to work. That's number one. Number two, if you know where you need to go to work, you'll also see where you don't need to go to work. So you could actually start building confidence because you actually know what you actually do right, what you do good. There you go.
Because I think it's so great when you talk about the 3 times that you get paid in a sale.
Oh, okay, great. So, yeah, I used to be in sales. Great. So, so I found that when I was in sales, I got paid 3 times every time I made a sale. So I got paid because my customer acknowledged me. They think that I was worth the money. Then the second thing is actually made the money. So I actually got paid like in cash. And then the third thing is I got respect from the salespeople around me and my managers because I made a sale, you didn't. So it was fun. You know, it was like sales was like, I can see why people love being in it. It's multiple payoffs.
Absolutely. And if you think of it in dating, it's like you got the girl that's getting the cash. You're getting the approval from her because she's totally into you. And the acknowledgement from the other guys, like, wow, man, you scored the really hot chick, or vice versa, great guy. So. Yeah, that's how it definitely plays in there.
Thanks for reminding me. I actually forgot about that, but that's totally true.
Yeah, exactly. Now, in these 9 steps, is any one of the steps more important than the other? Like, if you mess up one, does it mean you're completely ruined and you can't go on to the next? Is there one like a critical one of the 9 steps, or do they all kind of the equal weight?
They all carry equal weight, and what's most critical is who you're being about it more so than what you're doing. You know, you could stand next to a woman and you want to, you know, approach her and you want to do the approach and you can start reading the phone book. But if you're reading the phone book with the right way of being, that'll open up a conversation that'll have her want to be with you. You know, if you're, you know, qualifying her and you fumble around, but she thinks you're charming, you won't get hurt. So I actually believe that. And my observation is that who you're being makes more of a difference than your actual technical skill, and you want to have technical skill.
Right. Now, getting into the types of dating, I have a few questions here. One of the terms I use, a little acronym, is DFS. I lovingly call it dating for sport, but I really call it dating for sex. And it seems to me that your program is really for DFL, dating for love. It's for people that have already made the shift and have decided they want to be in a relationship. Is that true?
Yes, it is. However, it is adjustable for those who want to do the DFS.
Okay.
You know, like if they wanted to, if they didn't want to date for love, then they could probably leave off the last step.
I see. Okay. So now let me just ask you a couple questions about, you know, how your programs work. I know that you have a one-on-one dating mastery coaching program. You've got the dating mastery group coaching, which is, I believe, up to 6 participants. Both men and women can be involved in that. And do you help people find a date? Do you tell them where to go online, where to go meet people? Or do you just help people in the process? I mean, what level of involvement do you get in?
So I'm not a matchmaker. So I don't like have a database or help people to actually find dates that kind of way. I'm not saying that nobody should go to a matchmaker. So I want to make sure I'm clear about that. I wouldn't go to a matchmaker because out of the almost 7 billion people on the planet, you know, more than half of them are women, which I'm personally really happy about. So, you know, what I've discovered is that most people end up dating and marrying people that live in their immediate vicinity within a couple of miles of each other. There's, you know, obviously long distance relationships, but there's not anywhere near as much as that I met this person around the corner from where I worked, or this person turns out to be five minute drive away from where I live, even though I never saw them before. So the opportunities, if I was going to concentrate on matchmaking people, what I would encourage them to realize is that there's no opportunities right in front of their face. So yeah, would I help somebody to create a profile on their website, you know, on Match.com or Yahoo or whatever? Yeah, I would help somebody like that. I would look at it, and I don't write it, but I would give them some advice about it. But really, it's like telling a fish you should go over there to get water. It's because it's just so many opportunities, and the thing to do is to give people a sense of and give them the viewpoint that there's dating right in front of them all over the place. Even if you lived in one of the hoods and you were being an urban yuppie, there's other urban yuppies that are living in your hood. They just trying to get out of the hood just like you are. So there's always a match around. It's just an abundance, which is one of the things that I train people in. If there is an abundance, you don't have to feel lonely anymore, even if you're alone, because what you're looking for is looking for you.
Yeah. And one of the other terms that you use, and this is about not being lonely and feeling full, is you talk about the emotional bank account. I talk about filling the love bucket, but you talk about the emotional bank account. Can you share with us that emotional bank account concept?
Yes. So we, in dating in particular, dating is where it starts, right? Where, you know, you want to do things that has your partner, the object of your desire. Because this, by the way, I want to really make this clear that though I am heterosexual, these distinctions, these practices work for gay and lesbian people as well. You know, I would have to do a little bit more tweaking with dealing with a individual lesbian and coaching her in how to either gain or be in a lesbian relesbian relationship. But these distinctions, these principles work regardless of who it is. So I like to refer to it as the object of your desire. So in the beginning, what happens is you're scoring points. You know, the man is scoring points with her, she's scoring points with him, and it, you know, adding up, it is enhancing their vision of who you are in their eyesight, right? It's you know, part of the presentation of the 9 steps of dating, and they're left with a higher impression of you than they were when they first met you or first saw you. And so what you always want, what is in your best interest, you don't have to do it, but I highly recommend it, is to look for ways to enhance your position and enhance their feelings and opinions of you. That's what I refer to as the emotional bank account. So when you do something good, you do something surprising, when you do something bold and or generous, that they remember that. Even if they don't remember the incident, they remember the feelings, which is why I call it the emotional bank account. So as long as they're feeling really good, then they will give you carte blanche in a lot of areas, meaning, you know, you're forgiven ahead of time because you've left them feeling so good for so long compared to making a mistake. give you a personal example. I was dating a young lady, and we had a great time. And my emotional bank account allowed me to make a dumb guy mistake, a withdrawal once a month. Like, I was allowed one stupid guy mistake. That's what she called it. You did a stupid guy thing. Because I did a guy thing, not realizing why. I didn't know what it was. Every month it was something new. It was never the same one twice, right? But I did a dumb guy thing, but I survived it because I only did one of them. If I got two, it started looking like really nasty with her. And it took a while to recover my status with her. But you want to leave people feeling better than you found them when you first caught up with them or call them on the phone. So you want to make sure that the emotional bank account is as full as possible, because there'll be times when you actually will need it. You'll need to make some withdrawals. You'll be really messed up. You might do something crazy. Let's say you're a guy and you was planning on going out on a date with your wife, and boss calls you away, and you end up staying an extra day out in the field longer than you wanted to. You're gonna have some emotional currency withdrawn, even if it wasn't your fault. But if you have enough, you'll survive it.
Yeah, and I actually like to make it a little bit more simple, just thinking about the love bucket. When the love bucket is full, it's fine. You can always scoop a little bit out, no big deal. And what fills the love bucket are your actions. It's the type of contribution and participation that you're putting in, whether it's your words, your deeds, your actions. And if you know what are the rings of desire that I call them that surround the love bucket that keep it full, if you know what the three or four, especially with a woman, if you know her three or four, there are seven ways to fill the love bucket, then absolutely, even if you're doing it 4 out of 5 times, you're filling the love bucket. Like you said, if you mess up, it doesn't matter, because when it's mostly full, it's fine. If the love bucket is just a few drops at the bottom, if something messes up, then it's empty, and then it's hard to recover, because then it starts to crack. And it's a problem. So it's always good to keep it as full as possible.
Yeah, I the word came to me was it's a problem. You said it, like problem.
Yeah, don't want that. So basically, four to five actions that are good, one that's not so good, you're probably okay. It's the 80-20 rule. So getting
Yes.
back to your program, you have a guide. You call it the Dating Success Guide. Can you tell us what's in it?
Yeah, what it is, it's a tool to help participants, coaches, to measure where they are in the 9 steps, and then look to take steps and look for practices, resources to improve themselves in those areas.
Excellent.
Simple as that.
Simple. That's great. Now, as mentioned before, you provide coaching to groups, and your Dating Mastery group coaching, they're small groups with mixed groups of men and women. Why is it co-ed? What's the benefit there?
Well, the benefit is that if I say something about women and the guys are scratching their head, they may not 100% believe it sometimes, or they'll have a hard time believing it. And then when the women will be like, "Yeah, that's true," it actually carries more weight. There's more impact, and there's more of a reason for the men to get it, and vice versa. Because I could be saying something to a woman, something as simple as, when guys say stuff, they actually mean what they say, and the woman will be like, "What does that mean?" The guy said, "No, what we said is what we mean." And it might take hearing it from multiple men and women to do that. That's number one. Number two, they'll start to coach each other as we're having the conversations. Number three, my attention, it doesn't always happen, but there's some lifelong friendships that come out of that.
And maybe even some dating.
I was about to say, we've had a couple of dates as well come out of it as well. So, but you have a support group, you have cross education, and it reinforces the program, but in that sense.
That's great. And now, for people that don't want to be in a group situation, whether it's timing factors or whatever, they want your one-on-one. What is your Dating Mastery one-on-one? What's the benefit of being in a one-on-one coaching program with you, Tony Veer, the love coach?
The benefit is that I get the chance to spend more time with them one-on-one, meaning I get a chance to learn how they think and look at their mental models a lot more closely than I could in a group setting, and actually alter their mental models in a way that works for them and help them to personally tune themselves into what they're out for. They may have special circumstances that they just don't want to be sharing with a lot of people. They may have, some kind of either learning disability or a blind spot that, a group might want to help and process, because sometimes you're in a group and they're like, oh, we should try this, or let me call you later, and all of that stuff. And sometimes that stuff just doesn't work. Somebody needs to actually get focused on over the, an extensive period of time, meaning, they may need the whole hour to themselves on a regular basis. Or they might be moving around and they're traveling, this country, that country, and they don't have the time to be a part of a group. So that would be some of the benefits of it.
I think that's great. Now, your programs are 90 days long. Is 90 days long enough to become great at dating so that you can find the right mate and have a fabulous relationship?
For some people, it's 90 days is enough to be great. For most folks, it's not enough time to be great. Most folks have 30, 40, 50 years of challenges in their mind that, 90 days can't transform. But what will happen is in 90 days, they will learn how to train themselves. And they will become masterful at that. They will have the tools and they will have the muscles to ongoingly peel the onion back so that they actually get to mastery at what they're up to. Mastery doesn't take a couple of minutes or a couple of hours or a session. Most people take a training course, do some coaching, and they figure they're going to get fixed instantly, and then they don't realize that, they got three or four new contexts, but they got 400 other ones that's in the way. So this training program is designed to be what I call the gift that keeps on giving.
I think that's great.
Yes.
I was just going to say, after people work with you for 90 days, can they have follow-up calls with you as well?
Yeah, we could actually either renew, we can create a new program, because I'm always working on the next program and I'm listening for what people are looking for or what's missing and what they're already doing. So I've actually got a number of programs. One of the other things I do is after that 90 days, occasional what I call the 1 day emergency intervention. So a 1 day emergency intervention is a heavy duty training and coaching session. It'll take anywhere from 1 hour to 2 hours, depending on what's needed. Analyze them. I'll point them in the right directions. Chances are I will refer them to reading either a couple of books or purchasing a couple of CDs, whether they're mine or somebody else's, and then have them follow up after they do the homework. Don't talk to me again until you've done the homework, because they're in a crush. My wife just left me, and I need her to come back now, and I don't got time for no 3 months coaching sessions. So call me for those emergency interventions. I'll take care of
Right. Well, that's beyond dating. That's actually fixing the relating aspect. But I know that you've helped people in many, many areas of dating, relating, and the five love dynamics. So I think that's great. Now,
Well, I'm going to tell you something else about though, Sherry, is that the 9 steps to dating, if a couple is not dating, they're probably having a problem anyhow. So, I want people to realize that this 9 steps to dating, the dating mastery programs, are for not just for singles.
absolutely. And that's why this is actually mirrors what goes on in cultivating in the five love dynamics. It's a very similar process in cultivating after you've worked out a lot of other things. You're still actually going through this and cultivating and developing that love matism in your relationship. Now, I'd say that investing in yourself is part of this coaching process. Now, what will people gain when you coach them for 90 days? What are they going to experience at the end of the 90 days?
Well, they're going to experience at least three things that I could promise you'll experience. One, you will understand who you are and what you're great at and what you want. You'll have tremendous clarity about you. So we all have these voices in our head, like it's on the doubting Thomas on our shoulder. You should whatever, right? But in spite of that, because I can't turn that off, because nobody could turn that voice off. In spite of that, you will know who you are, what you're great at, what there is to work on, and you'll understand you. You'll have clarity. That's the first thing. The second thing is you'll be able to understand. You may not be a master at, but you'll be able to understand the language of the opposite gender or the language of the object of your desire. So you'll understand as a man what women are saying when women are saying it. And as women, you'll understand men when men are saying what they're saying. Because one of the skills that I have is as a gender language translator. I speak male and female. And it sounds like English, but I promise you it ain't. Then the third thing is you will understand how to interact successfully with the opposite sex, meaning you'll understand what's important to them and how to see what's important to them as you go along. It's never like you're going to never have mistakes. You know, like you're never going to make mistakes, but you'll be really good at only making that mistake once, because you'll be able to bring workability to your relationships. So those are the three things that I guarantee, that I promise will happen, that you'll benefit from those coaching programs.
Well, that really sounds excellent. Now, included this guest interview are several documents, one of which has all the details for coaching with you. Actually, each of the different coaching programs, your Dating Mastery 101 coaching and your Dating Mastery group coaching. Can you tell us some of the highlights of those different programs?
Yeah, so it's broken down into the first, second, and third 90 days. And so what you'll be getting is definitely for the individual coaching program, we get 1 hour of coaching per week over the 90 days. And I've been known to, take an occasional additional call, in emergency situations. I'm getting ready to go on a date and this girl likes me and I want to make sure I got everything covered. So, I allow for those emergency things. I understand that. You also have unlimited email questioning, so you can feel free to email me, any questions that you may have. Doesn't matter what time of the day or night that happens. We get lifetime upgrades on the dating success planning guide, and then I also have occasional workshops. So for example, I have this workshop called the Anatomy of Dating. It's a 2-day workshop, so you get discounts for doing the workshop while you're in the coaching program. And also, when I have new workshops coming out, then for the individual coaching for up to 2 years, and for the group coaching for up to 1 year, you actually have access to participating. You'll be the first ones called to participate in the beta test of my upcoming workshops. So that's a tremendous value, because one, you'll be doing the workshop at either a but there might be a situation where there is no cost to the workshop, and that'll depend on what the beta test circumstances are going to be. And then you also, as a part of the beta test, you're actually supporting those who are coming behind you with perfecting the workshop and making sure that they're getting the value based on what your feedback is in the beta test experience.
That sounds great. Now, do you have anything for our listeners that they can put into action right now?
Let's see here. Okay, so the advice that I have right this minute is to go to the playground, anywhere in any town, and there's more than five or six kids. I would sit there and I watch them for a while, and I would watch the differences between boys and girls. I would watch the boys play together, I would watch the girls play together, and then I would watch the boys and the girls play together. And you will learn everything you need to know about men and women by watching those kids play. We think that girls turn into girls when they're like 15 or something. That ain't true. I remember one time I'm walking to the subway and in the neighborhood, and I saw this young lady. She was three. She was pushing, she couldn't have been more than three. She was too short to be anything tall, more than three. And she's pushing this baby carriage, and she's pushing it with her arms up in the air because the carriage handles was taller than she was. And she's walking and she's pushing this baby carriage with a doll in it. She was practicing being a mommy at 3 years old. She had a 10-year advantage on men. Whoever she's dating, he better be sharp, because otherwise he's in trouble. And so watching her, I learned that she's over there practicing being a mommy, and watching the little boys learning how to compete with each other and how to get better. And I'm watching how little boys bond by doing things together, and how little girls bond by talking and playing together. So that would be my advice. Before you take on my coaching program, go to the playground, watch the kids. You'll learn everything you need to know.
That's a great, great tip. Now, I want everybody to check out the session highlight document that goes with this guest interview to learn about Tony Veer's Dating Mastery 101 coaching and his Dating Mastery group coaching. Thank you so much for being our guest interview today. And everybody, thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye.
You have just listened to the audio session of one of the programs in the Love Success series. Discover how to keep your love and sex life sizzling by visiting the website loveandsexlife.com.